all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06, nice to have you here on this Thursday morning, July 18th, busy hour ahead. We will hear shortly from Richard Trent. He is the new National Executive Director of the Main Street Alliance, a nationwide group giving voice to small business owners who, frankly, have gotten tired of big business doing all the lobbying in Washington and in Madison and doing things that are not necessarily good for small businesses. It's Thursday, so we have our Women Win Wisconsin segment with our friends from Motherhood for Good. So Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy will be here talking to State Senate candidate Kelly Peterson coming up. And Luke Mathers will join us as well. He's had a very busy week, not just with the convention, but with a third congressional district candidate forum among the three Democrats squaring off next month, looking for the chance to run against Congressman Derek Van Orden. So he'll tell us more about how you can access this week's forum that was held in Eau Claire. But right now at 7:07, it's time to get an update on the forecast. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. And like I mentioned, Brittany, to have long sleeves, and have the windows open and have it be this, to have 40s in July is really something. And I don't know that a lot of people complain. I mean, yes, obviously some it's too cold, but for others, this is probably a nice little break. Where do you come down on this?
Oh, I am loving every second of it. Not going to lie. I also had long sleeves on earlier, but I've already ripped those off. I'm embracing the chill.
What are you, an all-star wrestler? I've ripped the sleeves off. I'm getting into the ring.
Oh, yeah. I love 40-degree weather.
Wisconsin strong. Yeah.
All right, so Brittany's already heating up for the day here to tell us, do we stay this way for very long?
Oh, goodness, we have a beautiful day ahead of us, honestly. Comfortable temperatures, no mugginess, no humidity sneaking in there. Winds are still pulling out of the north. They'll be calmer today. A lot more sunshine out there, especially central Wisconsin. Didn't see too much of that sun yesterday. You will today. Bright and beautiful, mid-70s statewide. We're all hitting those temperatures as this high-pressure system sits over us. And tomorrow, we have the same thing. We're going to be into those mid to upper 70s. And these overnight lows, tonight, into the low 50s. And by tomorrow, upper 50s. So still feeling very refreshed and cool. You can keep that AC off, open those windows, and enjoy the day.
Yeah, bright and beautiful. I like that. From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 54 degrees. Yesterday, it felt like fall while mowing by Highway 45. Lots of traffic heading south to Oshkosh and the EAA that starts on Monday. I've never been to the EAA.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. I mean, on this side of the state. And, you got it. Yeah.
Oh, I feel like you'd be great there, like broadcasting from the EAA. That'd be fun to listen to you.
I guess I wouldn't even know what to expect. I mean, like,
planes, right, there's, lots well, of
yeah,
planes.
Plane. And obviously, it's a lot more to it, but I have no concept of it because I haven't gone yet.
Do you know what's even more important than the EAA starting? And this is for
what?
Brittany. This is for Brittany. What? Twisters comes out tomorrow.
Yes, it does. Oh, my gosh. Weather nerds unite. We're all excited about this release. Yes, it is tomorrow night. I wonder if it's going to be sold out. We'll see how that goes.
I doubt it
because there's a whole lot of people that will want nothing to do with that because they already have tornado nightmares anytime there's a clap of thunder. And it, near as I know, doesn't have Helen Hunt in it. So, I mean,
nope. But that Glenn Powell, he's real easy on the eyes, if you know what I'm talking about. What up?
I do.
If you say so. I also don't know if this is... This isn't a sequel. This is just like another tornado movie, right?
Yes. Yeah. From what I understand, there's not even mentions of the old movie. It's just a new
movie about tornadoes.
Weather. Okay.
About weather.
I knew they couldn't do it probably better. So, they're not trying to replace it.
Right. That one was a classic. Although, perhaps for me, the most surprising thing about this movie coming out was that a Milwaukee area meteorologist tweeted yesterday, "Should I have watched the first one before going to see the second one?"
What?
And the abuse she got for being a meteorologist who's never seen the original Twister was, none of it was mean. It was just like a whole collective, What?
Now,
are you kidding?
The thing is, I don't know how old she is. There is something.
It doesn't matter.
Well, there is.
It doesn't matter. She has a TV.
There is something. Well, that's the thing is, I think Twister, the original, is much better in the theater because you get the full theater experience. When you watch it on television, it's fine. But I saw it in the theater, and I remember at one point thinking, I feel like the ceiling is going to get ripped off the building because it was so, you just felt every moment of it. So if you didn't see it in the theater, I get why you wouldn't want to maybe watch it on the TV.
I guess. We had a very small screen alternative to that. We were on a family vacation in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and we got this little tiny cabin, and then we were going to go horse riding and go on some trails and parks and things like that. Well, like the second or third night we were there, severe weather rolls through, and the TV in there, little tiny TV, it only gets one channel. What do you think they're playing?
Twister?
They're playing Twister.
Nice.
The Twister, yeah. On whatever channel this was, it was, I don't know if it was a cable channel, but whatever it was like, this is not great programming right here, you know, but somehow we managed to make it through. But yeah, it still haunts some people to this day. But Brittany, what does it come out today or tomorrow? Tomorrow, right?
I think it's tomorrow. Yeah,
tomorrow? Tomorrow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we will be expecting make some time for a full movie review first thing Monday morning.
Will do.
Merlot at the movies.
Yes.
Oh. Wait a minute. Yes, with a little glass of wine.
Mm-hmm. And your only assignment's ever when it's a weather-based film. So you're going to be reporting it once every 7 years.
Perfect.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
You can join the show anytime here at 855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text. You can also send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. If you're watching the show on Facebook or YouTube, you can put a question or some feedback in the comment section, and we might show it here. And that's what we're going to do with a few different comments that came in from Brandon. Don't know if he's new to the program or not, but as we talked about the Republican convention and its theme yesterday of mass deportations and what that would do to the American workforce and the difference between now and 100 years ago when, you know, a lot of our families arrived in this country. Brandon writes, quote, "So it's racist to want a legal immigration system? You realize the first act of each migrant has been to break the law, so that's okay?" All right, Brandon, no, that's none of that is what we said. A legal immigration system is exactly what we need. A legal reformed immigration system is what we should have had, except that Donald Trump, and only Donald Trump, told congressional Republicans who had worked out the bipartisan deal he insisted on, then rejected the deal. Trump told them to kill their own deal and let the problems continue to fester. So no, there's no racism involved in this at all. We all actually want reform. The racism might come in the form of, you know, referring to certain countries as asshole countries and wondering why don't we have more immigrants from Norway and other predominantly white European countries, but we don't have to dwell on that part. As far as the act of each migrant being to break the law, again, let's talk about criminal intent for a moment and what your great-grandparents would have done in the same circumstances. It was a whole different system back then, but they too were fleeing persecution, war, poverty, starvation. And the things they would have done to make sure that, say, your grandmother as an infant could have a better life are completely on par with what's happening today. We need immigration reform. He goes on to write, "Who do you think pays for those student loans?" Referencing our discussion with Scott Ross in our last hour from the Republican convention. "A loan is a contract. Don't sign the contract if you intend to break it. The loan doesn't just go away. Taxpayers pay it. Get real." Brandon, here's what's real. What's real is the taxpayers don't pay for it. The taxpayer, the loan, if they have under the proposals that were set up by the Biden administration, deals with the interest that would have been paid. These are folks who have long since paid the principal, but because of the terms of that contract that they felt they had no other choice but to sign to get an education and break a cycle of poverty, called for interest payments that turned out to be whoppers, far beyond what the principal was. But they've paid the principal, or the equivalent of it, and they're still paying the interest. The taxpayer loses nothing on this. The loan is a contract. No student is saying, oh, I'm going to sign this and then I demand that you break it. This is something that comes up from people like Scott Ross, people like Joe Biden, people like Pat Kreitlow, who got all kinds of student grants and loans to go to college and escape a cycle of poverty, who have then more than paid back what we got in loans in terms of higher incomes as a result of the education that we got. Canceling student loan debt is an economic development project that is good in every local economy that it's done in. Because when you cancel, let's say, your neighbor's student loan debt, that's now money that's no longer being sent to a bank or to Wall Street someplace. This is something that is immediately put right back into work as they become homeowners instead of renters, as they buy a new car from the new car dealer or get a new washer and dryer from the local store, rather than, again, trying to make do with the old one for as long as they can. This is good economic sense. But again, there's a certain political party that sees a need to turn this into a much more divisive issue and also speaks on behalf of financiers and others who only stand to profit if more and more Americans are kept in debt. And Brandon finally concludes, yes, please bring up January 6th. Let's see all the documents. I'll wait. Scott's a hack. Unreal. Brandon, yes, we will continue to bring up January 6th. And in terms of let's see all the documents, I'd say let's see all the text messages. Let's see all the text messages that the Secret Service deleted from that day. There's a lot we'd like to know about it because it wouldn't prove that January 6th was some kind of an inside job, but perhaps would get even deeper into what certain people in positions of power said and did on that particular day. We'd all like to find that out. Although first things first, I'd like to find out more about this past weekend. First off, what is with that mattress-sized bandage on Trump's ear? You will not find a doctor that says that is a standard bandage for a wound on an ear like that. Why haven't we had a single medical briefing? I'm sure everything is fine, but why wouldn't you at least say so and have a doctor out there? There's a lot of questions about presidential candidates' health, and I'd like some of them answered from the Trump side of things for once. 719, coming up next, Richard Trent, the new National Executive Director for the Main Street Alliance from the Milwaukee Convention, talks to us. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. And joining us now is Richard Trent, the new Executive Director for the Main Street Alliance. Richard, hello, welcome to Up North News Radio. Thank you for being here.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me.
Now, it's been a little while since we've had a guest from Main Street Alliance here. So let's start with a little reset, because I used to have a lot to say about it as something that was basically the antithesis to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, in that this sounded much more like the voice of small business Wisconsin. Is that still a good way to describe it?
That's absolutely the way to describe it. We recognize at Main Street Alliance that small business is still the beating heart of the American economy. So we do everything in our power to uplift the voices of local entrepreneurs that are strengthening our communities, so that they're the ones that are actually shaping the policy for Main Street. So super excited to spread that message throughout one of our most robust member networks here in Wisconsin.
And when we talk about that advocacy on behalf of small businesses, as was pointed out in the announcement that let us know that you were taking over executive director, there are things that are threatening small businesses, you know, writ large nowadays. There's increasing monopoly power from the big boys. There's certainly a more regressive tax structure that's been out there. And also a deterioration of the care economy. And that's the one I really want to hone in on, because it always strikes me that small business owners are the ones who understand the care economy way better than some mega corporation's HR department, and that groups like yours have a vested interest in making sure that the care economy is appreciated on behalf of your employees, which I can only imagine is good for every one of your members and their bottom line.
Absolutely. And I feel like we're really just starting to connect the dots between what a strong care economy means for the sustainability of small businesses. But we were super grateful to be a part of the paid leave push in Minnesota last year. And we're hoping to notch similar policy wins across the rest of our member network states. But the fact of the matter is that there's a big showdown, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. looming, especially around healthcare, affordable healthcare for small business owners and American citizens, with the expiration of the premium tax credits. So these are the tax credits that have been a part of the Affordable Care Act for as long as it's been in existence, over a decade, that was re-upped during the pandemic and has been keeping premiums low for American citizens for a while now. They're slated to expire next year, and it's going to be a part of this larger tax debate between Democrats and Republicans. So just to put things in perspective, if those premium tax credits expire, a 60-year-old couple making around $80,000 a year can expect to pay $17,500 more in healthcare costs annually. That's not me misspeaking. It's literally $17,000 on the line for working class families, which is unacceptable. And you know, a lot of our members know that when you have to incur those sorts of expenses, it can totally throw your business operations out of whack. So we're open to spread that message. We're trying to hear what folks at the RNC have to say about that. Looking forward to hearing some of the local entrepreneurs here weigh in.
I would say that if there was going to be inroads made with something like the Republican convention, it would be the many of them that are small business owners or partners or investors in some way, shape, or form, who maybe have been against things like, you know, an increase in the minimum wage because it's all in the name of free markets and competition, but that maybe they have now seen enough. They've seen that small businesses cannot compete with big corporations who are always hiding behind that phrase, fiduciary responsibility to shareholders. And that these are folks that actually want to care for their employees as well as make a profit. Are my glasses a little too rose-colored, or do you feel like you can make some connections at this Republican convention?
So I think that you see some promising things bubbling up when you hear someone like Representative Matt Gaetz endorse FTC Chair Lina Khan's super aggressive antitrust strategy, basically said that she's an inspiration to him, and he hopes that sort of antitrust enforcement continues even into a, you know, what would possibly be a second Trump administration. I think that that's because so many folks, Democrats, Republicans, have witnessed what actually happens on Main Street, which is you've got these massive corporations that come into our communities, drive down the prices so that small businesses nearby can't compete. And then once those businesses are out of the game, then they jack the prices back up. It's looting our Main Street economies. Republicans and Democrats can feel it. And so, yeah, I am optimistic that we can start to broker some sort of bipartisan collaboration, especially around antitrust enforcement and building agenda around that.
And then a little bit closer to home, Main Street Alliance also gets involved with legislative issues, obviously, and even tries to put a spotlight in some particular legislative races where it seems like it's a key opportunity to, you know, talk about a particular issue, a particular message. Is that going to be happening in Wisconsin at the legislative race level this year?
Absolutely. So we're doing just a big C3 push, educating Wisconsinites on what's at stake in this next election. And so we're excited to get voters connected to the larger message of just empowering small business, uplifting our local economies, and fighting for the policies that are really going to strengthen our neighborhoods.
That sounds great. And then finally, in the time we have left here, I wanted to learn a bit more about your own path coming to Main Street and what folks should know about you and what it is that you've been advocating for and, how you're going to help small business owners in your new position.
Well, right before this, I was organizing in D.C. around the revitalization of some national parks there in the city, and working with the Business Improvement District right around that park is when I really tapped into the power of small business messaging. I mean, when it comes to articulating the importance of certain policies, there is no better credible messenger than your average small business owner. And so once I tapped into that power, it became pretty clear, I think, what my next career moves would be, and was grateful for the opportunity to come at the helm here of Main Street Alliance. But I was raised by a small business owner. You know, my mom was owned a catering business when I was first born, and she was hustling until ultimately she ended up getting credentialed enough to move into kind of an administrative position, managing an engineering program for historically black colleges in Atlanta, which speaks to the power of small business. You know, it's like the upskilling engine of our economy. So the skills that folks that are working at a restaurant or brewery and local establishments, the skills that they take away from that experience inevitably contribute to the next kind of leveling up, however they see it in their own careers. And I think that's how we need to start talking about our small businesses, not just as these, you know, end all, the final stops for a lot of folks, but a lot of folks are getting meaningful skills at the places where they work and taking it into their next journey.
And a lot of them feel like they're just too busy hustling to really pay attention to what's going on in Capitol buildings and things like that. And yet, if there's one thing we've learned about Main Street Alliance, it's that all these small businesses together can have a big voice. If you just devote a little time to work with the group and hear from folks like you, Richard Trent, the new executive director. Richard, a real pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with the new position, and excited to talk to you next time you're coming through Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Wonderful to meet you.
That's Richard Trent again from the Main Street Alliance. And when we come back, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, we're going to get to meet Kelly Peterson, who's running for state Senate seat in Northeast Wisconsin, along with Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. That's all ahead on this Thursday morning on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to have our Women Win Wisconsin segment coming up in just a moment here on Up North News Radio on this Thursday morning, July 18th. First, I do want to cover a little bit of audience feedback here from some of our earlier topics. A text from Tom in West Allis on people critical of student loan debt forgiveness. Tom writes, "So I'm assuming that these people who are completely against student loan forgiveness are also completely against voucher school programs, right?" Also, let's see, we have feedback from Jack in Merrimack, who says, "First off, nearly every country in the world that thinks of its future has free or very reasonable college for all who qualify." Jack goes on to say, "Republicans have cut support for public colleges and universities for decades, to the point that when I went to college, tuition was around $300 a semester, and my son's cost in the same public university system is about $10,000 annually. It's not hard to see how, with books and other necessary costs, like a decent computer, it's easy to see how a student who works while going to school could end up with $50,000 in loans if their parents can't help them. Loans that should be lower with appropriate public support for public universities." And Jack is exactly right on that point, because, again, it's not that student, it's a matter of state support is what has really dwindled. Of course, there's always loans. People will always lend you money with interest, but in terms of state support to help your own residents go to school, that has been on a 30-year, you know, downward streak, and that's something that completely needs to end if we're going to have a better public education system at both the pre-K-12 and into the college level. Which takes me to some other folks who support education in Wisconsin, and that's our Women Win Wisconsin segment with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, and this week's guest, state Senate candidate in District 2 in Northeast Wisconsin, Kelly Peterson. Kelly, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. The Inquisition will begin in just a moment. But first, we check in with Kate. Kate, how are you? How are things at Motherhood for Good?
Things are good. Things are busy. They're picking up. But, well, you know, it's been a crazy, crazy couple weeks. I don't think that's going to slow down anytime soon. So, yeah, we're hanging in there.
Well, I heard you over the commercial break about, you know, getting to meet Kelly, maybe traveling a bit more. And you said, maybe not this week. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe not till December. Because it's...
Yes.
It's,
well, and I meant just because I'm in Milwaukee, I maybe visitors don't really want to come down this way this week. Although,
it's
quieter than expected. So
yeah, it's been very quiet in many parts of town, which I suppose, you know, that cuts both ways. But the circus will fold up its tent eventually, and everybody will move on to new things, including back to these legislative races, Kate. And, and Kate, I'm going to start with you, and then you can turn questions to Kelly here. But let's talk for a moment, for all the talk this week about the presidential race and the presidential convention and everything, we really do have to get back into the business of reminding folks just how important these legislative races are in Wisconsin.
So incredibly important. And we try to talk about that a lot, and especially when national politics has obviously so much going on, and I think it's really overwhelming for a lot of people. We keep telling people, like, we got to dig in and focus on these local elections, because when you kind of step up and help out there, your contributions can be so much more impactful, and vice versa. The people who are in these seats can make laws that are really, really impactful to your life, and rather quickly. So it's really good for folks to get involved in those local politics, which is why we're so excited to talk to Kelly today, who's running for a Senate seat here in Wisconsin in the state legislature. And so, Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know your background is, like, not entirely in politics, but in an adjacent career path. So tell us a little bit about why you kind of decided to make the turn into politics, and what you're hoping to get out of gaining this seat.
Yeah, so it was really, I've been a journalist for more than 30 years, and I've met a lot of people, talked about a lot of issues, wrote about a lot of issues, met a lot of people. I'm also an educator. I teach at NWTC here in northeastern Wisconsin, and I also teach through the University of North Dakota. My husband's background, he's a 20-year veteran from the U.S. United States Air Force, and really what got me involved with politics. This is my first run in politics, but now I have a voice that I can echo a little louder wearing that hat, because I really got involved when the fall of Roe came. And honestly, I was going out and talking to people because I felt kind of alone. Like, is it just me? And as I was going out and talking to people in the community, it was a deep concern. And honestly, Kate and Pat, when I'm at the doors, when I'm on the phone, that's the main issue I'm hearing. Is reproductive rights, women's reproductive rights. Moderate Republicans and independents alike are telling me that same thing. It's not just the Democrats. And when I'm knocking doors and making phone calls, those are the questions I'm getting asked. And right now we're in legal limbo with where we are with Roe in terms of the court system. So that's really why I got involved. And it's obviously for education and other key issues like childcare. Things that I've written about for so many years, I can actually now, if elected, use my voice to make positive change.
Yeah, there are some folks very close to you here who understand that whole notion of a journalist running for office. because at some point, again, you're talking to so many people and hearing their concerns and realizing it doesn't always jive with what the talking heads are saying on basic cable. And right now, it seems like the talk, especially this week, is so detached from that reality. And that reality that I'm hearing from you is that the current stuff kind of ebbs and flows, but taking away somebody's right to control their own body, that's still very much a factor for them, even if the folks on TV are tired of talking about it.
Absolutely. And what's even more scary is if we look at what else are they going to take away from our rights, our freedom. Look, we've got contraception that's also at risk. What's next? So it's what I'm hearing from people are the issues. What else are they going to take away? We've worked so hard to get to where we are. Our state motto is the word forward. And Governor Tony Evers has done an amazing job getting us forward. Same with Senator Tammy Baldwin. But with the Republicans in office right now in the state of Wisconsin, just like Roe, they're taking us backwards. And we need to go forward. And that's the voice that I hope to echo going into Madison and Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we need reform and protection and restoring rights at the federal level. But there's also things we can do right now at the state level. And you mentioned, you know, it's not just abortion access, which, by the way, is a huge umbrella that, you know, also is miscarriage management and, you know, medical care and intervention for, you know, fetal abnormalities and things like that. But it's also birth control, contraception, and even IVF, which obviously we're seeing stories out of the South, which we know is just going to continue to get further out to other states. And you also mentioned childcare and things like that. Again, although they need help at the federal level, there's things we can do at the state level. It is not impossible to pass laws to help our state right now, which is why it's so important that we get involved in these local elections. And it's nice to hear, you know, because like you said, it's not just Democrats talking about abortion rights and abortion access. It's moderates, it's Republicans, it's bodily autonomy. And that's very, very important. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about, like, you know, it's not just Madison and Milwaukee either. You know, you're up in the northeastern part of the state, and you're still hearing that from people you go and talk to.
I am, Kate. And I'm in a red district. I've got so state Senate district 2 with the changing of the maps. I've got chunks of Outagamie County, Brown County, and Shawnee County, Oconto, and Wapaka. I've also got 3 reservations now underneath state Senate district 2. But it's a very red area. And when I'm up in Shawnee County, I'm hearing this. And again, these are not just Democrats that are telling me this. When I'm on the phone, and I call all over Wisconsin when I'm on the phone, it's not just my district. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing the same concerns, Kate.
Yeah. And flipping over to the other topic I just mentioned, childcare, I know that that is important to you, and I would love to hear you talk a little bit about that too. I know Pat mentioned during the intro, he was talking to, you know, student loans and the price of college, and that the average year at the particular college he was talking about is $10,000 a year. And the average cost of daycare now for one child in daycare is $17,000 a year. And it is now more expensive for people in all 50 states to have 2 kids in daycare. That is more expensive than their rent. What are you hearing when you talk to folks about the daycare crisis and the cost of that?
Oh, they're concerned. They're very concerned. And look, we have a record surplus here in Wisconsin. We could be putting funds into childcare. We could be doing that right now and starting to help these families, because with the childcare crisis, and it's big in State Senate District 2, this doesn't only impact the children and the parents, it impacts the economy. Mm-hmm. So it's a snowball effect. And I'm hearing just the other day, Kate, I was out knocking doors, and a woman answered the door, and she had two small children. And I said, so are you concerned about childcare? She said, that's why I'm home right now. I can't afford it.
It comes back to what we heard in our previous segment from Richard Trent, the new national executive director for Main Street Alliance, that, you know, Main Street Alliance is a whole bunch of small business owners who aren't just, they're not just focused on profit and loss. They don't have to deal with, you know, share buybacks and things like that. He said specifically, they're invested in the care economy, and that it's a healthy care economy that gives them a healthy workforce and, frankly, probably a healthy customer base as well. Do you get that sense, not talking not just at the doors, but talking to people who own, operate, or are part of small businesses, that they too understand that these issues like child care, senior care, health care are all as important as any other, you know, P&L statement for a business?
Yeah. So as a matter of fact, another door I was knocking, a woman answered, and she had one small child, and she said she had to work part time because she had to stay at home to watch her child, and she's living with her mom so she could manage her bills. We shouldn't have to be in a situation like that. We should be able to, parents go to work, our children go to daycare, and not have to worry about finances. And the other problem to this is, if you can get your child into care, because there's a wait list that's so long. I was just doing a press conference at a daycare facility here in District 2, and there's a list that's so long that it's a matter of not only getting the kids in, but now keeping the staff to manage the kids because the money's not there to pay these employees.
Yeah.
It's so low. That's another concern.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we hear it all the time, and so glad that you're kind of running on that platform and talking to folks and standing up for that because it's so important. And another issue kind of talking about the future generation is the whole conversation around PFAS. And I know that's really important to you as well, especially, you know, up in that area of the state. Can you talk a little bit about what you're hearing there and what you plan to do if you get elected on that issue?
Yeah, look, we could, the Joint Finance Committee could release the $125 million right now. We could start testing for PFAS right now if they would release those funds. But the Republicans, including Wimberger, they've decided they're not going to release it. The farmers should not be held responsible for what's being polluted. It should be the people who are polluting the farms or the land to be responsible and fined for what's being these forever chemicals that are being dragged in onto the land. So that's one solution that we could actually work on right now as we're talking, but it's not being done. And if in office, that's something that I would deeply run on because, look, we can't see PFAS, we can't taste PFAS, but it's there. And we need to make sure that we're testing it to protect people in Wisconsin. And we already have, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Our neighbor, Michigan, they're testing right now. So that could be a model for us. So we've got the resources to help us. I don't know why we're not doing it.
Because it's not about reinventing the wheel. It's that the wheel is purposefully not moving. It's stuck for a Republican caucus that is sitting on $125 million for more than a year now that could be addressing the contaminated water in Northeast Wisconsin and elsewhere, but isn't going to happen, isn't going to budge unless there's some changes made in the legislature. That's part of what Kelly Peterson's running on in the 2nd Senate District in Northeast Wisconsin. Kelly, great to talk to you again. Take care.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye. Kate Duffy, thank you so much. As always, head over to Motherhood for Good, look it up on Instagram, and learn all the latest about what the group is doing to get more folks, especially busy moms, involved in civic engagement. Luke Mathers joins us to wrap things up next on Up North News Radio.
Let me tell you. You my little boo thing.
Craig,
what?
Our little boo thing is back.
Aww. The very handsome, the very capable Luke Mathers.
I know, it's been so long. Luke, something's different about you.
Guys, I talked to you last week.
Did you really? Didn't feel like it.
It really feels
I absolutely spoke to you guys last week in the same time slot.
I guess you weren't very memorable. All right. Well, anyway, Luke Mathers.
That's probably what it was. That's what it was. Wait, it's not like an eternity of news has occurred over those last 7 days, and
honestly,
that I've been around northern parts of the state. But yeah,
what a month it's been this week. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness! And you were up in the Chippewa Valley helping record that 3rd congressional district Democratic primary debate between Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shanklin and Eric Wilson. So how did that go, and how can folks get to access that?
Yeah, it went really well. We've got a lot going on around civic media this week. So
Yeah. We've
been typically broadcasting the forums for the 3rd CD Democratic candidates across the 4 stations in the 3rd CD, part of civic media. And so this week, since we were doing extra coverage with the RNC from 7 to 8 p.m. on all of our news talk stations, we didn't have the opportunity to broadcast it, but we still wanted to bring that forum to the listeners. So I was up in the Chippewa Valley. It was a Chippewa Valley Technical College, the Business Education Center, where the 3 candidates spoke to a crowd of more than 100 individuals that were there to hear from the candidates ahead of next month's Democratic primary on August 13th. And so it was a really good event to see and be able to cover because it a little bit different than what's going on in Milwaukee, smaller scale, but also just good to see the candidates be able to interact on a more one-on-one basis with voters. And so we recorded the event. The forum was about an hour and a half. And instead of broadcasting it, you can go check out the podcast on Civic Media's website, head over to civicmedia.us. You can go to shows, and we have a show tab for our special event broadcasts, and it is there where you can find the complete forum for the fourth and final third CD forum that Civic Media was excited to partner up with across the western portion of the state to be able to bring the information to the voters. And so you can head over there. Our news team, Jimmy Koska and James Kelly, also did an excellent job collaborating on a write-up of the forum, so you can go check that out. If you don't have time to listen to the entire 90-minute forum, you can see the write-up that our news team did and get all of the information there as well.
Head over there. If you go to the news section and then you go down to politics news, the story is featured prominently there right now. And I have to say, looking at the photos that accompany it, and I mean, I already knew this, but it's always nice to mention civic engagement in the Chippewa Valley. That was a good crowd in that room. And these are folks that show up at these events. They want to know what these candidates have to say. You know, there isn't a bad candidate in the mix. We have no idea how the results are going to go. There are people that very strongly support all three candidates, but definitely wanted to hear from all of them because of the need to unite around, you know, the nominee, the eventual winner in August. And it was just a good, healthy turnout that way.
Yeah, it was a really great event. Glad that I was able to go up there. And Pat, why do you ever leave the Chippewa Valley? That portion of the state is gorgeous. I was not able to spend enough time up there.
Palm trees and sunshine in the wintertime beckoned to us at one point. So that was kind of nice until, as I explained to Greg earlier, you know, a triple-digit heat index every day eventually wears you down. And you like seasons again. And yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah. It was great. I did not have enough time to request the pontoon ride, so therefore I wasn't able to swing by. But okay. it was a brief visit, and boy, do I want to try to find any excuse to spend some more time up there in the Chippewa Valley after that brief visit.
Well, guess what? It's going to work the other way first, because I am reminded that a week from tomorrow is when we're just grabbing a bunch of folks from Civic Media, and we're hitting Yacht Rock night at the Brewers game next week, Friday.
Yeah, you are.
And in fact, let's see. Do I have? I've got a Yacht Rock captain's hat around here someplace.
I'm a little nervous about that, Pat, because they showed off the hat that they're giving away. Mm-hmm. It's like for a baby.
It does look really small, doesn't it?
It's not going to fit on my gigantic dome.
Yeah. A couple giveaways back in the previous season, I think last year or the year before, they gave away some of the bucket hats, and we were all very excited to get them. It was, I believe, Father's Day a number of years ago.
It was last season.
Yes, and so we were very excited to get the bucket hats. My dad loves the free giveaways, so we got there, and me and my brothers all got the bucket hats, and they were only giving them to the adults because it was sponsored by Miller Lite, so yeah. The kids couldn't have them when we walked through the gate. But as soon as we try to put the bucket hats on, Mather's men have notoriously larger heads, and it immediately went to my nephew, and
yeah.
That's where the bucket hat has resided since.
If you go to my Instagram page, you will see a picture of me from last year. I had to turn it inside out to try to fit it on my head, and then I ended up giving it to my friend's nephew. He's like, I didn't get a hat. I'm like, there you go, buddy.
There you go, yeah. So we've got a handful of Milwaukee Brewers, the Brew Crew bucket hats that just did not fit our heads. So I too, Greg, am a little worried these hats next week might run small.
So look. You're saying it was good for me to buy my own first.
Jeez.
So now this is extra. It's fitting over headphones right now as well. But yes, when we were at the party store getting things for the birthday party, and Sherry pointed out the captain's hats here and said, you have to have one of these. So
there you go.
Here it is. So I'll be ready. But I did go to a giveaway. I think it was like 2 years ago. There was a T-shirt one, and my buddy and I, we both got the T-shirts. We looked at them, and we saw a family with some kids, and we just both of them handed to the kids, like, yeah. Here you go, kid.
The Robin Yount jersey night, I had to go back and exchange it for a size up because it was so tight. And fanny pack night was just mean. That was just mean.
Did they not have adjustable fanny packs?
Oh, it adjusted, Luke. It didn't adjust to the healthy size of a Wisconsin man, apparently.
In other words, it was a wristwatch for you.
Pretty much. Just,
yeah. So we're gonna look to make the best of it next week, and I think it's gonna be a great time. I'm definitely jazzed up to see you all. We haven't all been in person in the same place for a while here.
It's been that's the hardest part at Civic Media. We've got so many excellent members of the team spread out across the state, and it's always great an opportunity to get together. And so it'll be a really good time. But between now and then, be sure to tune in to special event coverage of the RNC. Terry Bell and Todd Alba doing a terrific job every night at 7 p.m.
Luke Mathers, thank you so much for that. We'll continue to follow, and don't stay away so long. We'll see you again real soon.
Sounds good. See you in 7 days.
I hope so. Greg will be on Jane's show coming up at 10. Thanks to today's guests, Scott Ross, Joe Zepecki, Richard Trent, Kelly Peterson, Kate Duffy, Luke Mathers, and all of you for being here this morning. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Get our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for being here. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.